Hey guys, Hannah here. Boy, do I have an amazing episode for you guys today. Today I chat with Too Much to Handle listener Trevor as we talk about big emotions and learning coping strategies for when we feel completely and utterly consumed by our thoughts and feelings. I know I have days like these all the time, and I know you probably too. We also get into some of the societal expectations of men to always be tough. I bring in expert Dr. Chris Donahue to help us all learn how to quote unquote deal with our emotions and navigate life and the full spectrum of the human experience. We also discuss the most beneficial form of self-care that you're probably not doing, so I know you're gonna love this episode.
When I was growing up, I was always told that I was too much to handle. I was too loud, too opinionated, too demanding, just plain too much. Now, as an adult, I celebrate these qualities within myself and within the women I know. This is a call to action. This is a space to own your too muchness. This is too much to handle.
I am so excited to welcome Too Much to Handle listener Trevor to the show. Hi, Trevor.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Not too bad.
Yeah. Well, you actually sent me a DM talking about some days that you do feel bad. You asked about feelings, which is one of my favorite topics to talk about because I have a lot of them. And you asked, how do you handle days where you can't stop feeling? You said, I have days where it just feels like my emotions are out of control and my mind is racing everywhere at once and I can't concentrate on anything. It leads to overthinking and sometimes sends me into a depressed state. And then you asked, what are your coping strategies aside from unloading it all on the people in your life willing to listen? First, that's a great strategy, talking to people. And I really want to thank you for opening up and sharing this. There's not enough men who talk openly about their emotions. And moreover, there's not enough space for men to talk openly about their emotions. So I'm really glad that we're diving into this today. So I'm kind of curious if there are certain triggers for you that you found for the quote unquote days where you can't stop feeling. Do you have like a specific example?
I'm not sure if there's like a specific example. It's more just days that I'm feeling down. Generally I go to like my best friend and, try to talk to her about it, but then it's like, I kind of just, you know, feel like a burden on her just because all the negative emotions that I'm feeling, I feel like it kind of just rubs off. And so it's not too fun.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I think a lot of us feel that way, right? When we're telling people about what's going on in our lives, we don't want to be a burden. And the thing that I always try to remember for my own personal life is when my friends come to me and they're talking about their problems, I never feel like it's a burden. I'm always eager to help and listen. And so I try to give people the benefit of the doubt that they also feel that way when I talk to them, but I get that it's hard. And I want to dive into some of that in a little bit. I think the biggest thing for me and what I've found to be an effective coping strategy is really the first step is accepting your feelings, just period. Like once I started having gratitude for my emotions and not trying to judge them right away, and just really appreciating the rainbow of emotion that I feel and how it shows me what I really, really care about. That was the biggest game changer for me and helped me sort of sail through my feelings a little bit more effortlessly and surprisingly a lot quicker. I'm sure there is a reason for why that is, and I could speculate, but I will not pretend that I have the answer to that. So I want to bring in an expert. I want to welcome Dr. Chris Donahue to the show. Dr. Chris is an international lecturer, therapist, and educator. He is the host of the relaunched Loveline nightly radio show, co-host of the Amber Rose Show with Dr. Chris podcast, weekly expert on the Amber Rose Show, and frequent co-host on the Doctors TV show. Hi, Dr. Chris. How are you?
No, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. I want to know right off the bat, what do you think about Trevor's question?
Well, first off, I give Trevor a lot of credit because whenever I'm working with an individual, I always want to take into account social forces. Mm-hmm. And being a man in our culture, it's really difficult to feel like we can occupy space with some kind of emotional experience. So Trevor, I pat you on the back for that. I mean, one of the most powerful things I work with clinically with men is their ability to feel something. Some men I work with struggle to even put words to emotions. You know, men are often in our culture socialized to be very comfortable expressing things that fall under the aggressive, anger-based emotional scale, but anything outside of that can often be really hard. So I kind of want to just throw that out there, that there's some level of evolution that you've pushed forward into by being able to feel such a full range. So I applaud you for that. What do you think got you so comfortable feeling so much?
Well, first, thanks. But I don't really know. I guess I've just always kind of just been an open book as far as emotions are concerned. And that kind of leads into one of the questions that I had, because I know the whole thing was that when I do feel down on days or depressed or super anxious on days, I feel like I don't have a good reason to be feeling that way, just because on paper, like I have it pretty good, you know. I mean, I grew up with very supporting parents, grew up in a loving family. I have great friends. I have a, you know, career going. And so just on paper, it feels like I shouldn't have a reason to feel like I do.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I like this conversation, because I think it normalizes having feelings that aren't always tied to a crisis. I sometimes think that people don't feel like their feelings are valid if it's not tied to something really powerfully negative or a crisis. But yet, as you're kind of talking about, we can still move through our day, even though everything's quote unquote perfect, still feeling different things. So what's your question tied to that specifically?
Just more or less, kind of why do you think I'm feeling this way, or what are your, I guess, coping strategies as far as dealing with that during the day?
Yeah. So my answer is going to frustrate you a little bit, as it does for a lot of people, because everyone usually comes forward with this kind of topic, basically asking, how do I get rid of it, right? Like, that's usually somewhere embedded in that. How do I get rid of it? How do I get rid of it? And as I was saying, I think the work is about making people more comfortable with it. And so I kind of like what Hannah said about acceptance. And that's the first step, is I tell people to be a human is to feel a multitude of emotions, and that's the goal. And you're already kind of there. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not distressing at times, and we'll get to that part. But I just want to start with saying that that's being human, and that's a valuable, valuable thing. So the first
piece is it? Why is it that we hate feeling so much? Like, why is that so uncomfortable for us?
I look at a lot of social factors around that. We live in a patriarchal culture, and what we really value in our culture is being productive, being successful, pulling it together, being tough. I mean, I work with females in the workplace, and they come into my office and they say, you know, in my non-work life, I'm allowed to be a human and feel a full range of emotions. And then I go to the office and I'm expected to act like a man, quote unquote, which means feel nothing. And that's, again, rooted in get back to your desk, pull it together.
Don't cry at work.
Yeah, totally. And it's really dehumanizing. And we have a lot of jobs where you're not allowed to feel anything. If you're a server, you're not allowed to have a rough day. If you're a flight attendant, you're not allowed to have a rough day. If you're an executive giving a speech or a lecture, you're not allowed to have a rough day. Even me as a therapist, I can't go into my office and say to my patients, hey, I had a really rough day, so this session's going to be kind of bunk, and I might cry a few times. Like, our world is really centered around toughening up and distancing ourselves. And that's why, even though you're saying that it's overwhelming at times, I always first pat people on the back when they're able to when people are able to feel a full range, because I work with people for decades to get to that place.
Yeah, I'm really curious to kind of getting into what you're talking about a little bit more here. When we talk about emotions and we start judging our emotions, right, based off whatever society says, whatever your parents may have said, what the people around you may be indicating is okay and what is not okay. What I always find really interesting, and kind of going back to something that you said, Trevor, is when we feel quote unquote negative emotions, right? We start to go, well, I don't have it that bad. Like, there's somebody who's worse off than me. I shouldn't be feeling this way. But on the flip side of that, when we're having quote unquote positive emotions and we're happy, you're never like, well, there's somebody happier than me. Maybe I shouldn't be feeling so happy. So I'm always kind of curious why the sadness or anger or depression sort of elicits that, maybe that comparison and that shame. I think that's what it is. I think it's shame.
I had a friend text me a couple days ago and he said to me, you know, I'm feeling really depressed and I don't know why. What do I do? And my answer was kind of what you just said. I said, well, what would you do if you were having a really good day and you were feeling positive things? He's like, well, I'd go to the gym and then I go to work. And I was like, great, do that. And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, just because you're feeling something bad or negative, don't translate that into something different has to be done. Just like when we're in a great mood and we are excited and full of joy, we go to the grocery store. I said, when you're feeling low or sad, I want you to still go to the grocery store. I want people to learn how to function while carrying all emotions with them. But like you pointed out, we have this box of bad ones and we assume something bad must have happened and something important or special needs to be done. But, you know, I take a very Eastern influence-based perspective on this, which is emotions are an energy in our body. They're an experience and they can direct us to need a change in our life. But more importantly, we need to put them all in our backpack and go back through our day, regardless of whether they're positive or negative. But it's very difficult because we're also in a culture really centered around pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. And we want to find a fast answer for everything. And so if you're sad or depressed or anxious, people come in my office and they're like, just give me a pill. And I say to them, there's so much beautiful material that can come out of going into our emotional experience and really trying to figure out what it might be speaking to us.
I love that. I think that is so, so, so profound, right? Think about what you're feeling on a positive day and do that exact same thing when you're feeling down. That is beautiful. Trevor, does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I was going to piggyback off that a little bit. Because when you said that your friend had texted you or whatever, like the gym is one of, actually, it's one of my favorite places that I've kind of picked up in the past year. And it's one of my favorite places to be at. It kind of gets my mind off things. I just, you know, feel happy while I'm there. But in the same sense, it also kind of tends to be a source of anxiety for me too. Because like when I have to miss a day or something, like I have a trip coming up that I'm going to miss like a week. I'm going to be out on a work trip for a week. And so that has me a little anxious about that. And so, you know, I tend to overthink stuff like that where it's like, oh, if I miss this week, what's going to happen? You know, I might, you know, get lazy, so to speak, and lose what I have already.
But even that statement is so powerful for me is, you know, we're so afraid of things like laziness. I talk to people and I'll say, what are you doing for self-care? And I'm going to ask you that. But a lot of people will look at me blank and they'll say, what is self-care? And I'll say, isn't that fascinating that we don't know how to take care of ourselves? And a lot of people that do have an answer to that, they'll say things like, my self-care is going to the gym. And I'll say to them, that is not self-care. That is just more activity. That is more productivity. We have to get really comfortable culturally with doing nothing. And part of when people feel a heavy emotion, they feel like something has to be done. And I tell them, we have to stop being so obsessed with doing and get more comfortable with just sitting with ourselves, which means all of our emotions as well. And I'm sorry, I cut you off. What were you going
to
say?
No, not at all. I was just going to say that we could apply the same logic to what we were just, to this as what we were just talking about, in the same sense that if I go to the gym for a week, my body is not going to change drastically at, or if at all, right? If I go to the gym every single day and I'm being productive, I'm being active, right? So on the flip side of that, if you don't go for a week, that doesn't mean you're lazy. Your body's not going to change drastically. I think we can apply the same sort of logic. But I do think what you're getting at, Chris, here, which I do think is really, really important for us to kind of like now delve into is, okay, self-care. How do we start really implementing these strategies that can then help us not deal with the emotions, but endure, like navigate through them?
I like the endure word.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you. So, Trevor, what would you say you do for self-care?
I would say the major thing that I've picked up within the past like month maybe is trying to do meditation. Usually it's guided meditation. I use sleep meditations a lot to try to get me to sleep. But on that front, that's kind of about it.
Okay. So I always advocate for people trying to find, it depends on their lifestyle. I would love for people to do something every day. That's not reasonable for every person, but depending on your responsibilities and daily structure, something every day. Meditation for many people falls under the category of something every day, but I don't care what it is, whether it's lying in the tub. I mean, let me frame it first. Self-care is things that have no productivity. They have no outcome other than the fact that they feel good and they make us feel nourished. So when someone says something activity-based, I always say that's great, but self-care is often napping, meditating, laying in the tub, going for a walk for no reason, putting on music, sometimes even zoning out, watching television. It's things that are not about activity. We are so hyper-productive that it's always about reeling people in away from that. And if you'll notice, everything I'm listing, sitting in the bathtub, meditating, all of them are also experiences of sitting with ourselves and emotions and whatever comes up. And that's exactly what we're talking about as well.
Yeah, I love how you really underscore how it can be anything, right? That you're not being productive. Like my self-care is watching The Real Housewives. I admit it here today. Like to me, that is the most like cathartic, just complete shutdown. And it, yeah. So it's different for everybody. Do you think that for you, meditation feels like I'm curious because I live in LA, and so I think it can go 50-50 here, but do you think meditation is you being productive, or do you think it's you chilling out, relaxing, all cool?
Some days it's both.
I'd
say some days when I'm feeling like super anxious and I just need to meditate, that feels like productivity to me because it's just what helps me calm me down, like guided deep breathing or something like that. Whereas other days I feel like it more or less feels like the nothing that Chris is talking about here, where I'm not, you know, necessarily feeling so down, but it's just somewhere where I can just kind of be with my own thoughts. But
AKA being with yourself and your emotions. And that's why, you know, I pull people away from the productivity based stuff, because that is to not be with ourselves or our emotions, right? If I'm running for the sake of a marathon or fitness, I'm too focused on how long I've been running for, what the distance is, how I'm feeling. There's no space in that for me to sit or learn how to be with my emotions. If I'm reading a book for something other than pleasure, for homework, and I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at what chapter I'm on and I'm highlighting, again, I'm not learning how to sit with myself, be with myself, or whatever comes up. And that's why I always put in there, again, there has to be no goal, so that you literally are just present with whatever comes up. And that's how we make any of those experiences actually meditative. For me, I have so much going on that I have to literally force myself into the tub. And it's not about getting clean, because I've already showered for the day, and I have to force myself to sit in there and just be, because I'm like, oh, I have to, you know, get ready for my radio show tonight. I have an article due. None of that is me learning how to sit with my own emotions. And then I can't be shocked if I wake up feeling depressed with my inability to really know how to cope with that. And so that's why I say every day, I want people to create spaces where feelings can arise.
Oh, wait, but I wanna ask a question, a follow-up question to what you just said, Dr. Chris, is, you said you can't be surprised if you wake up feeling depressed if you're not, you know, implementing some sort of self-care. Can you expound upon that? Because I think that's going to have a really profound impact onto our listeners, and hopefully you too, Trevor.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, to kind of piggyback before he answers that, there are some nights where my mind just kind of just goes into overdrive and like, you don't sleep well and mm-hmm. you wake up and it's like, well, that kind of just set the mood for the day and the day hasn't even started yet.
Yeah. And that's horrible.
Yeah.
And I go back to childhood and I'll ask some of the clients I work with, I'll say, tell me what would happen when you came home from school, your earliest memory. And if you had a rough day, what would your family or parent do? And I'll hear stories like, oh, my mom would say, it's okay, it'll be fine, and hand me a cookie. Or my dad will say, oh, you'll outgrow it. They'll get over it. Here, let's go play a video game. And what they're essentially saying in all those methods is find something to distract yourself. Find, start eating as a way to cope or turn to video games. But it's a really powerful experience when parents say to their child, come and sit with me. Tell me all about it. How did you feel? And they start giving them feeling words, sad, mad, happy. And what they're training them to do is to learn how to sit, not be overwhelmed, but also to turn to people. Because I want to bring in another term, co-regulation. We as humans are social creatures. We cannot thrive or exist without others. The most toxic experience is isolation. We see that in the studies in prisons when they are put in extreme isolation. They essentially go psychotic. So we have this resource called co-regulation, which is when we're overwhelmed, we can turn to another. When I'm doing couples therapy and I see when the individual is getting sad or upset, I know they're a healthy couple when I see the one on their own without even realizing it, put their hand on their shoulder, or they start to just rub their leg. We naturally turn and touch people to help soothe. And that's, Trevor, what I heard you talking about before, is that you'll turn to your friends. That's another really beautiful way to learn how to be with emotions, is turning to people.
Can that be a form of self-care and sitting with your emotions, sort of venting to others?
I believe so. If it's done again, not necessarily in terms of I need to fix or get rid of this emotion, but instead I want to learn how to just sit in it or have someone be in it with me, because that's also a really powerful way to build intimacy. If we're like kind of expanding outside of the scope of what we're talking about as well, intimacy building is just that. We have no goal. We're just present together. We're sharing who we are and what we're feeling, and we just let it be. And there's a really beautiful movie called Lars and the Real Girl, starring Ryan Gosling. And there's a really powerful scene where he goes through a loss, death. And these elder women are just sitting there. And this younger girl's like, what do? He's sad. And the women say, we just sit. All we do is we just sit. And there's a beautiful scene, all just sitting. No one's even speaking. And there's like four of them just sitting, just being, just allowing. And that's what it should look like.
And so, Trevor, kind of going off of what Dr. Chris just said, when we talked about it at the top of the podcast, you mentioned feeling like a burden when you talk to your friends. Can you, like, let's dive into that a little bit more? Because I know I feel that way. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, whenever, I'm having a bad day or whatever, and I start, talking to people about, how I'm feeling that day, trying to figure out why I'm feeling that way. I just feel like, there are different kind of moods that conversations tend to have, I feel like. If you're talking to your friend about a movie or what you did at the gym that day or whatever, something like that, it tends to be, upbeat and let's say productive. But when I feel like I'm talking like that, I feel like I'm just kind of bringing the mood down, or like, why do they need to hear this? Because, they might be having like a really good day, and like just bringing in the negative, might make their day worse. And I feel bad about that.
And that breaks my heart. And that's how a lot of people feel, right? We think that we don't want to bring others down, but let me say a few things around that. I want to kind of like re-narrate, reframe that. I want people to know that when someone comes to us with an emotional experience they're having, I want us to be complimented by that, because that's a sign that this person values us and our relationship and that they want to go deeper. And when you do that with a friend, you're saying to them, you can do that with me. You're saying to them, this is going to be a truly intimate, honest relationship. Because I promise you, when we walk away from conversations where we talked about politics, who we think is going to win the election, and we talk about how great our gym workout was, that's awesome, but no intimacy was actually built in those moments. we actually feel closest to people when we walk away from a really deep emotional conversation. We're like, damn, I really feel like I can trust that person. I really feel like I got to know them. So I want people to know when someone comes to you, take the compliment. B, also know that it's okay to bring quote unquote negative emotions to other people. Again, we're telling them this is going to be that kind of relationship. But so keep doing that. And the healthy yeah. friends will be the ones that stick around and tolerate that.
Yeah, Trevor, I'll give you an example. I was at dinner with a group of girlfriends. It was my best friend's birthday dinner. And she brought some girlfriends that I didn't really know that well. And during the birthday dinner, one of them started talking about what a hard time she was having. And she started going in on, you know, everything she was going through and how she started going to therapy and how what that process was like for her. And instantly I was like, I need to be closer to this girl. She just opened up. She became so vulnerable and honest and real. And for me, that was really attractive as a friend. And now she's one of my best friends in the entire world because she was willing to open up and move beyond just quote unquote positive emotions, move beyond superficiality and be real, be human. And so I was like, I want to build a human connection with you. And so I do think that we sometimes underestimate people, right? We underestimate them and we're like, oh, they don't want to hear this. They're going to think this is annoying. They're going to think I'm a wet towel. But again, kind of going back to what I said at the beginning, like, do you feel that way when people bring up negative emotions to you?
I was actually just going to circle around back to that. Like, I never would think to even think about that like that.
Right.
Like if, you know, a friend is in distress and they want my opinion or just want someone to listen, like,
doesn't it feel good to help
them? I'm never gonna say no, and yeah, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
But I can't, it's real hard to kind of turn that around when it's, you know, vice versa.
Yeah, there's some self-worth in there, and that's why, you know, a little bit of self-esteem can be tied into that. Do I have enough value and worth in the world or to other people or to my friends that they'll hold that space for me? But the way we really find that out is by trying. Because there's going to be some friends that can't. You know, I want to call out, we're talking about men. And I'll go to the movies and I'll see men that can't even sit in the movie theater seats next to each other because they're too close and they have to sit a seat apart. You know what I mean? So, like, we still live in a culture where people are really afraid of closeness and touch. But the friends that will hold that space for you, the ones you'll get closer to, because, again, intimacy is not about just sharing the fun and the positive. Intimacy means we can drop into the dark and the depth.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think I have maybe a couple of men that I feel comfortable talking to, but most of those people that I do actually feel comfortable talking to are women.
Okay. Hey, it doesn't matter their gender, you know? You just want to have a resource and people you can get that close to. Yeah.
So to kind of synthesize everything that we've been talking about here, I'd like to give Trevor and our listeners some really tangible coping strategies. I know we've talked about a few so far. We've talked about finding a self-care practice.
Yes.
And you know, going to friends. Are there other things that we can be doing to sort of more comfortably, like, move through our emotions?
Yeah. And this is going to sound paradoxical and even hypocritical. Sometimes see if there's movement that's required. Our body holds and stores emotion and also trauma. And so I'm a big fan of people asking themselves, does this emotion need some kind of movement? I've had clients in my office get triggered with a lot of anxiety. And some of them, I can see that they're needing to move. And I'll say, what does your body want to do? And some will say, I don't know why, I don't know what this means, but I need to walk around the room. And I say, do it, right? We need to shake off that energy. We need to go into it, not contain it. Others have literally said, I feel like I need to do push-ups. And they get on the floor and they're doing push-ups. Sometimes we need to do something with that energy in our body because that's what emotions can feel like. Other times it's the opposite. The depression or anxiety might say, I need to cocoon. I need to roll up in my blanket and stay in bed. Allow that. Honor that. So I want to add, the first step we came up with was learn to accept, but the second one is learn to also allow, like allow them to go through whatever process they need to go through.
I really, really love that. There's a woman named Amber Ray who talks about treating emotions as guests for tea. Like they come in for tea and you can sit with them, but then they're a guest, they're going to leave, and just sort of like allowing them to come in and conversing with them, all good, but just knowing that they're not, you know, spending the night or not spending the life there, but you know that they'll eventually depart. And I think that that's kind of like what you're getting at, like allow it to come through, whether that means physically, right? Like could be something physical, or it could be just sort of experiencing the full array of how we manifest our emotions, crying, screaming, whatever it may be.
Yeah. And there's a caveat to that. I think it is healthy to pay attention to how much material you're bringing to specific people, because there is such a thing as flooding others. Mm. Where if we're consistently going to the same person over and over, we can start to negatively impact them. And that's not me trying to shame turning to our friends, but I want people to have a healthy understanding of what's going on in their life. They might not be in the best place themselves to really be open to that. And so I am a fan of asking, hey, are you in a kind of mood, or do you have space today where maybe we could sit or we could talk about some difficult things I'm experiencing, and give them a chance to say yes or no, because you don't always know what's going on in their day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important. And I think that kind of encompasses communication, right? Communicating with yourself, but also communicating with others. And that also builds that intimacy because you're respecting that person's boundaries, which is something we talk a lot here on the show. Trevor, is this resonating with you, some of these tips that we're talking about?
Yeah, I really like the idea of giving myself kind of like daily, let's call it do nothing time.
Yeah.
Kind of just let myself be. It tends to be hard just because, so I started doing like the gym and stuff about a year ago. And I've just kind of been pretty wrapped up in that recently, especially recently. Whereas before that, before I started doing the gym or anything like that, it was, you know, go to work, come home, be here, and then, you know, go to sleep, go to work, come home. There wasn't really anything else in between. And so that, I think that is super important, because I feel like I might have jumped from one extreme to another.
Yeah. I'm training for half marathon right now. And I know that my rest day, the day that I do nothing, is the most important part of my training, because if I don't take that day, I am not going to be able to do the next long run the next week, because my body is going to feel so, so worn down. And I think it's the same with our emotions, right? If we don't take that breather and that rest time, then we're just going to keep wearing ourselves down, and we're not going to be able to perform and live in the way that we want to. So I think the same goes for our emotions. Dr. Chris, do you agree?
100%. 100%. And, you know, again, we live in a culture that, like we're all talking about, is obsessed with productivity and outcomes, and our self-worth and our value as a person is tied to that. And that's why when people are feeling bad and they're taking time out to focus on self-care, some shame will show up sometimes, where they'll say, wow, I haven't done anything all day. And I'll say, that's okay. You're allowed to have days where you've done nothing. In fact, please have days where you've done nothing. If you're coming in and you're telling me this wildly full schedule all week long, I'm worried about your emotional health. That's not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and my friends have, it's a unspoken pact, but if one of us bails, cause we're just not feeling hanging out, we encourage that. We say, okay, yes, take care of you. And so I think, Trevor, if you show your friends that sort of support in quote unquote doing nothing, right, in taking time for their own self-care, they'll show that back to you too. So then you can start to cultivate a better, you know, self-care practice where you are having that do nothing time. And again, kind of circling back to what we talked about at the beginning, and just as we sort of wrap this up, I know in my personal life, the biggest game changer for me has been loving my emotions. I've been like, hey, this means that I'm human. I experience life in flipping vivid color. Sometimes it's really, really dark blue. Sometimes it's really, really bright yellow, and that is okay. That is so cool that I am feeling everything as I walk through this life. So my last question for you, Dr. Chris, and Trevor, I think this can really help you as a coping strategy as we talk about acceptance, is how do we all learn to love our emotions more?
I was going to say, yeah, like that's something I feel like I really struggle with, is just, well, loving my emotions and just loving myself in general.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a light. First off, it's a life's work. Let me just point that out. Because when we talk about loving ourselves in general, we're talking about loving every aspect of us. And this is probably for another podcast, but I work with a lot of people because our culture is big on this around their own body shame. And so just learning how to love our bodies, or to even think neutrally about our bodies, which I think is what the goal should be, where we don't really consider it. It's not good. It's not bad. It doesn't matter. We're kind of detached from it a little bit. Start by helping others. It's such a cliche of a response, but there's something really powerful in how we can support others. And as we get comfortable holding other people's emotions and talking them through it, we can kind of reflect that back. But I would say I want the takeaway to be that there's no such thing as a bad or wrong emotion, and none of them need to be resolved or gotten rid of. But we live in a culture where we think these are the bad ones, and if you feel that, do whatever you need to do to get rid of it, distance it, minimize it, and that does us a disservice. So just start, if nothing else, by not ever saying good emotion, bad emotion. They're all just emotions. That's the end.
I love, love, love that. I want to thank you both so, so much for being here. Trevor, I am just wowed by you for opening up and being so vulnerable. Again, like Dr. Chris talked about, especially as a man, when there's not enough space for men to talk about their emotions, show their emotions, the full range of them. And Dr. Chris, I want to thank you so much for helping us cope with our emotions better. You guys can find Dr. Chris on Loveline Monday through Thursday on Channel Q radio stations and online by streaming through radio.com and on Instagram at Dr. Donahue. I will link them all below in the description box. If you have a question and want to be featured on the next episode, please send me a DM to at Hannah Cranston or email tmthshow@gmail.com. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. Also, please, if you have a moment, rate and review this podcast. It really does make a difference. And just a reminder, we'll be coming at you every Wednesday. So buckle up, because it's going to be too much to handle. See you next week.